from Philadelphia to Boston. So we really don't have that much to complain about. And you'll notice that UPS and FedEx have done another thing. They forced the post office to become more competitive with overnight and priority delivery too. Not all that bad, huh? We all see those dedicated men and women walking house to house in the rain and snow and, yes, the blazing heat of summer, fighting off barking dogs and cranky homeowners, each dedicated to getting you that letter from Aunt Jane so you can catch up on what's happening with the family. So the motto must be true, huh? Neither snow, nor rain, nor heat, nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. Not necessarily. You see, it's a little known fact that that motto came from the ancient Herodias inscription for the letter carriers of Persia, not America. It was translated by Professor George H. Palmer of Harvard University and put on the 8th and 33rd post office as a tribute to the postal workers, and in fact, has no official link with the United States Postal Service at all. Taxes will be the death of us yet. Any idea who said that? Well, I have to be honest and tell you that I'm not sure either. It actually has been attributed to about 10 people, but I haven't found the definitive source as yet. And we all know that it was a tax that really started that whole revolutionary thing back in 1776. The king had levied a tax on tea, and Americans loved tea. At least at that time we did. We remember from our history books the story of how those brave colonists who dressed up like Indians and boarded British ships in Boston Harbor by the dark of night threw tons of tea into the water in protest of the tea tax. And basically, we colonials have been pretty cranky about our taxes ever since. But I don't know if you realize the extent of the tax that our forefathers were under. I mean, was a penny or two on some tea really that big a deal? Well, yes it was. Mostly because of all the other taxes the king had come up with. For example, did you know there was a hat tax? Yeah, there was a tax on how many hats you owned and wore. At one time, you had to pay tax on your hat. And then you had to put a hat tax stamp proving that you paid the tax inside your hat, and you were subject to inspection by the tax collector any time you wore that hat in public. That wasn't all, not by a long shot. There was also a glove tax, an almanac tax, a dice tax, a perfume tax, a wallpaper tax, and even a tax on the white powder you put on your hair. But there was one more tax that caught my attention, and it did answer a bunch of questions that I've had ever since I've visited many of our historical homes back east. I always wondered why they were so dark. Now, I always thought that glass was in short supply, and in fact, it was in many parts of the West, but not back east. We had a number of glass factories, but it's a little-known fact, and a pretty much forgotten and ignored fact, too, that at one time, there was a window tax. The more windows you had, the more it cost you every year just to look out into the street. Interesting, huh? But it does give us a little more insight into why those fellows got so upset when yet one more tax was thrown at them. And this time, on their favorite beverage, tea. There were three of them, and only one of him. The three Mexican bandits drew their guns and decided that this was going to be a turkey shoot. Much to their surprise, as they came charging at the young army lieutenant, hollering and shooting their pistoleros, the young officer simply pulled out his army revolver and picked off those bandits before they had a chance to get within 100 yards of him. All three of those bandits lay dead in the field. I would imagine that if those bandits knew that the young lieutenant was leaving the very next day for Stockholm, Sweden, they would not have been so foolhardy. Why? Well, because the young officer was going to the 1912 Stockholm Olympics to compete for the United States in the pistol shooting competition. Yes, he was the American pistol shooting champion. Well, actually, he was going to compete in two events, really, pistol shooting and fencing. You see, he was also the United States fencing champion. First, he competed in fencing, and he won the gold medal. Next came the pistols. He chose a .38 caliber, which was bigger than the .22 caliber that all the other contestants were using. Most